Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, each and every day you give us many clues in our life to know that you are coming and have come and will come again. So Lord, we pray that our sensitivity to your Spirit speaking to our lives might be increased and magnified so that we might not miss the joy of your coming. Guide us in your words and your thoughts. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, when we go on vacation, it's kind of nice to kind of pack ahead of time, right? Like, what do you usually take with when you go on vacation? Help me out here. Money! I like that. First one, better have money with. You might have a form of plastic, or maybe you'll have things prepaid, whatever, but you need money. You need your luggage, you need your clothes, and taking care of your hair and shaving and all that kind of stuff. You might bring your camera with. You might bring your cell phone and your computer with, so you can kind of stay in contact with the rest of the world. You don't want to get separated from the world electronically. We want that to happen. But you go on vacation, you prepare your agenda, your place where you're going, all these things you kind of prepare. A lot of times we think in terms of preparing ourselves for work the next day, or preparing Thanksgiving meal, or preparing ourselves for Christmas. You know, getting our Christmas cards done, getting presents bought, planning who's going to be get together where, all these preparations we kind of put into things, which is good. But how often do we ask ourselves, how am I preparing my life with Christ so I might have a vital relationship with Him, where I'm really kind of in sync with where He's at and not so much stuck where I'm at? But where is He leading us? And what are the clues He's put into our life that we need to adjust ourselves a bit or be adjusted? Our gospel reading today is from Matthew 24, which is a lot like the reading we heard last week from Luke. It was that time and place where the disciples were showing Jesus in the last days of His life the beauty of the temple. And Jesus said, you know, this temple's incredible. The stones are greatly carved and all that, and they fit so tightly, perfectly together, but not one stone will be left. This whole building will be torn down and destroyed. It will happen. And a mere 37 years later, it did happen. They didn't have dynamite in those days just to blow the temple up. They had to take hammers and wedges and long levers and to push things over, but not one stone was left on the other, because the Romans came in and said, we're done with this Jerusalem worship. We're done with this Jerusalem temple. They didn't want to have any more religious arguments or political warfare in Jerusalem, so they pushed it over. Jesus said this would be a clue, that this would be a sign. When this happens, you know that God's plan is still in place, but this is not the end. So the disciples wanted more signs. Lord, when will this great day come when you will be Lord over all? They wanted more signs, and so Jesus gave them a lot. If you look at Matthew 23 and 24, if you look at Luke 23, there's a long list of all the signs that Jesus said would happen before the great day comes. The exact day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son of God. I find that really interesting, that even Jesus does not know when that last and great day and the very hour will come. Isn't that interesting? It makes me think, why doesn't Jesus know? Why does only the Father know? It makes me think. And then I think about, who is Jesus that He would not know? Jesus says this to His disciples, says, even I don't know when this exact hour or day will be. And I think that's a really big clue as to who Jesus is. We know He's the Messiah. We know He's the Son of God. But He's also the mystery man. Okay? Jesus is a great mystery. He is fully human like you and I. fully human. He had to eat. He had to breathe. He got sick probably. He had to get well. He suffered and bled on a cross, and he died. He's fully human, but he's also fully God. But to be fully human and fully God, he chooses not to know everything. He chooses not to know the fullness of the Father so that he might be with us. He chooses to have faith in God rather than to know everything. That's really hard for us, not to know what's going to happen, not to know what's next. That's hard for us. But Jesus says, this is the way the Father has called us to live, in faith, not in knowing everything that will be, or trying to anticipate everything that will be, or trying to make everything that will be that will be. So part of us preparing ourselves for his coming to us is to take on that same nature that God had in Jesus, that he chose not to know or worry about all these things, but simply to trust the Father. So part of being prepared, one of our great clues, is to simply be trusting and to let go of many, many things. Jesus accepts not knowing for the joy of being able to trust the Father. All those things that we're anxious about, all those things that we just kind of knew how they would work out, Jesus says there's a lot better way. Just trust the Father. Just let go. Trust the Father. Easier said than done. Jesus also gave the clue that it will be like the days of the son of Noah. People will be filled with cares of life, as they always are. He says, but there will be such an increase as a time in Noah, there's a very evil days, just no boundaries between people. It was not safe. It was just violence and stealing, and just, it was terrible. Jesus says it'll be like that. Violence will increase, and people will always expect it to be that way. Isn't that kind of true about how we live sometimes? We always expect things to get worse, society just to get worse, evil people just to continue doing evil. We get stuck in that thought. We get stuck in that process that somehow things are just going to get worse, and they will. But why do we become captive to that thought? Why do we become pessimistic? Because we know that Jesus Christ came into our lives to free us from that stuff. The world will always choose evil. That's no surprise. But we as Christians are called to be alert, to watch, that we don't get pulled into that negative thought that it will always be this way. So one of the important clues about Jesus coming again is to realize there will be a new heaven, a new earth. Christ will rule. There will be a time of no more sin, no more crying, no more despair or great fear. There will be a time. So we live into that now. That's part of being prepared for Christmas, knowing that there's great joy coming, even if there's evil around us. Part of our message today is just simply this, is that when there's great evil in the world, Jesus does not want us to be troubled. As I shared last week, Jesus says, be at peace. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed with all these things that happen, but be at peace about it. Paul speaks to us in Romans today. He says, the hour and the day of our salvation is drawing nearer. Well, I thought that was pretty brilliant on Paul's part. Time's moving along. We are all moving towards that day, right? Pretty obvious. But what does that really mean for us? Why does Paul say the obvious kind of thing? Like, you know, each day we're one day closer to when we go to heaven. Each day we're one day closer to when Christ will return to earth. So this is good news. It's very obvious. But why does Paul say that? Because he knows that this is a long time for us, and we're human. Paul knows that we have issues and we slumber or we fall asleep. We fall asleep in our lives about what does it really mean to be in a vital relationship with Christ? What does it really mean to turn from our sins, the things that we don't have to do anymore? What does that really mean? So Paul spells them out. He says, love your neighbor. The world will always continue in evil in all its ways. And the world is free to gossip. The world is free to be angry. The world is free to be full of lust and pride. The world is free to do all that stuff. But we as Christians are not. We've been called to be prepared, to be on watch, and to set those issues aside. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are his witness. And just one of those little areas of your life wrecks your witness or my witness. If I was a thief, you wouldn't be too happy with me. You know? If I was gossiping about somebody, you wouldn't be too happy with me. And my effectiveness would be very weak. And the same for you in your life. If there's gossip, if there's jealousy, if there's envy, if there's anger or hatred, if there's lust, if there's stealing, cheating, if there's greed, we are ambassadors for Christ. So Paul says, leave all that stuff. And he says, more than just don't do it, he says, put on Christ. Put on his nature. Jesus Christ brings good news to you and I. He says, what he has is ours. And so when you feel burdened, when you feel overcome by whatever temptation is dragging you down, Jesus doesn't say, just stop it. He says something more. He says, come near to me. Come near. You need more of my love. It's the only thing that will cure this or cure that. You need more of my love. You need a lot more. Martha wanted to get the meal ready and have that perfect spread for Christmas Eve dinner. And Jesus says, Martha, I want you to have more of my love. I want you to know how deep it is, how great it is, how it just flows and just flows and it just flows. And I don't want you to starve yourself of my love anymore. Be like Mary. Come. Receive love. Peter wanted Jesus to be an earthly king. And Jesus says, no, Peter, it's not going to be like that. I'm going to be a king of people's hearts. I'm going to be a Lord because they're willing to follow me. They desire to follow me. Jesus wanted Peter to be near him to receive humbleness, gratefulness, and to take it in. Slumber comes upon all of us. These little things that we have in our lives, these attitudes that we pick up, they come upon us every day and they just kind of cling to us. I was watching Star Trek the other day, wasting some time, just kind of burning time, turning on Star Trek, and they had these little alien creatures that kind of just flew through the air and they stuck in the back and they would suck the energy and the nerves out of the person. Just really gross. Well, that's what the sin is like in our lives. It takes away the brightness of Christ in our life, takes away the love of Christ in our life, takes away the joy of Christ in our life. Sins that just kind of cling to us that want to do that. Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. We have fear. We have the unknown. We have evil all around us. And we get hit by all these things and they kind of build up like layers on us. And unless we are willing to admit that we have these things sticking to us, unless we are willing to admit that we are broken and that we need Christ to take it from us, to take it out of our life, we're stuck with it. Christ is working in many ways. He speaks into your life about all the details of your life, but he also touches those issues where we kind of go back to our favorite bad habits. And he says, I came to pull that off of you. I came so you're prepared when I'm coming, that you're full of love and joy and understanding. You're full of the willingness to suffer and to give rather than to be like the world, that you're ready to do that. Jesus says, that's why I've come, and that's why I'm coming again. I want you ready for when I come. We should be excited about Jesus coming into life each day, terribly excited at what he brings. He wants to offer personal direction to your life, to your work, to your family. He wants to speak that into you. But we cannot receive that good news, what he has for us, unless we also kind of cleanse ourselves and admit our brokenness and set it aside to be done with it. Paul says it this way, don't even begin to think of satisfying those natural earthly desires. Don't even go that way, but turn to Christ, lean on him, enjoy him, shake all of that off. For what's at stake is not just your witness for Christ. What's at stake is the peace in your heart, the joy that God has for you, ready to give and share with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you invite us to humble ourselves before you. If you have words to speak into our lives, words that we do not know, things that we do not know about, but you desire to come to us, to prepare us for your coming. So Lord, as we pay attention to you throughout the week, as we see the things that are happening in our lives and things happening inside of us, we want to bring that to you so that we might find peace, know your joy, your love. Strengthen each of us. In your name we pray. Amen.